Welcome, everyone. This is Performing Edge Coaching International. I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, and it is December the 27th at on 2013, 2 days after Christmas. And I hope all of you had a wonderful holiday. Our next call will be, just to do the announcements here, next call, we always have these calls in every second and fourth Thursday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific. And then sometimes we have a call also. Tonight we're going to have another call at 6 p.m. Pacific, so that you know, East Coast people, sometimes it's better for them to get on the call. And also we've got Roosevelt from Australia calling in. So at this time, I know it's like 2 a.m. this time for him the next day, so it's better it'll for him to have it so that it can be Friday morning for him. So for Roosevelt, so that's good. So our next call would be January, let's see, it'll be, yeah, that 2 weeks in the, January, the after the, right after the first of the year here, January the 10th, Thursday at 10 a.m. will be the next call too. So today we want to talk about relaxation and sleep, and how you can help your athletes. I had a lot of questions from you, and from a lot of people requested this topic because, you know, athletes going into a competition or going into training, important events, they have trouble sleeping. You know, the night before an event, you do all this training and all this preparation, but then a lot of athletes just blow it because you know, really hinder, sabotage their performance because they can't sleep the night before or 2 nights before. Sometimes as it gets closer to the competition, the anxiety builds up and they just really have trouble with being at, you know, getting that important recovery time. So, and relaxation and sleep. And I think our clients, they want to be at their best, our athletes want to be at their best energy, of course, for highest level training and for, you know, the best sports performance. And our athletes, they, you know, we're working with, they also want to recover better and heal faster. And I know they want to sleep well before events. I get calls and requests all the time that, you know, from athletes, my clients that want to be able to perform their best, but they have trouble with, to sleep well. Oh, also, if you can put your phone on mute, you know, just press star 6.
Yeah, and there's only 100.
During this part, that would be great so that you can, yeah, thanks, so we can get the, have a real clear recording here. That would be great, and then I'll, you can open up the lines later. So, yeah, that would be great. So, many people don't think of lack of sleep as something serious, including most athletes. But sleep deprivation can actually lead to major health problems and have serious consequences in our lives. And I think sleep is extremely important for us to, and it's vital to our health and our well-being. And we're in need of sleep as much as we are in need of oxygen. People don't realize how important it is. Sleep is really capable of working wonders in our lives, and it increases our work efficiency, extends our lifespan, and cures illnesses. It allows our athletes to recover faster and to perform better, and to be able to think more clearly. Yet, you know, millions of people are not getting enough sleep, and most of our athletes aren't getting enough sleep most of the time. One study showed that at least 40 million Americans suffer from sleep disorders, for example, there's surveys conducted by the National Sleep Foundation that reveal that 60% of adults experience sleep problems a few nights a week or more, and more than 40% of adults report having daytime sleepiness and you know, drowsiness that's severe enough to interfere with their daily activities at least a few days each month. And you know, we don't realize how prevalent this is. And poor sleep really pays a heavy price, because millions of individuals really struggle to stay alert when they're at home and at school, on the job and on the road, you know, driving, as well as out on the athletic field. And unfortunately, fatigue contributes to, sleep is a huge part. Driving is a huge problem, of course. And, you know, athletes, you know, are driving to events and that kind of thing, too. So driving is a big thing. Fatigue contributes to more than 100,000 highway crashes and 70,000 injuries, 1,500 deaths a year, just in the U.S. alone. So let's talk about what sleep does for us, and then how we can get better sleep, and how we can help our athletes. So this call is really for both you and for your athletes, because I think it's something that, you know, sleep is all, something we all need, and we as coaches need to work on this, as well as, giving this information to our athletes. So about a third of our life is spent in a deep, what appears to be, you know, kind of useless state of being. You think, oh, geez, all this time sleeping. Why should I? It seems like wasted time. But sleep helps us really maintain our optimal emotional and social functioning while we're awake, and by allowing the parts of the brain to rest that control the emotions and social interactions and our thought processes that allow us to perform well, you know, in sports and in other parts of life. So I wanted to ask some of the things I wanted to cover today are the importance of sleep, and then what sleep does for us, and also what happens when we don't get enough sleep, and then we'll talk about the consequences of sleep deprivation. And then I wanted to educate you a little bit on the stages of sleep and the importance of dreaming, and then talk about the substances that alter sleep. And then a little bit about circadian rhythms that influence sleep. So that's basically the sleep-wake cycle. And then we'll talk about how to sleep well, how to develop good sleep habits to develop. And then exercises and techniques for falling asleep and for staying asleep, and how these techniques can really help your athletes with their training, their health, and their overall sports performance. So let's talk about what happens when we don't get enough sleep. We talked about the importance of sleep and the, you know, what sleep does for us. So researchers, what happens when we don't get enough sleep is researchers are reporting that most people currently do not get enough sleep. Each person needs a certain amount of hours to completely rehabilitate his or her body, and your athletes need that. Often athletes need more because they're putting more stress on the body. And on the average, an adult requires 8 to 9 hours of a night of sleep, but many get less than 7 hours on the average. And what people don't realize is that even a slight deprivation of night sleep can negatively affect your health and your performance. And so, you know, I've looked at a lot of studies and research in this area, and there's a study conducted by the University of Pennsylvania. Those who slept 6 hours were diagnosed with the increase of certain chemicals in the blood associated with heart disease and diabetes. So if they only slept for 6 hours, which you think, well, that might be enough to get by, but actually, you know, you're increasing your chances of all kinds of heart diseases and diabetes and other stress-related illnesses. And research shows that women tend to adapt better adapt to sleep deprivations. On average, their state of sleep lasts for 70 minutes. And on the other hand, men remain in a state of deep sleep for only about 40 minutes. So, you know, it's interesting, too, did you know that the sleep cycle for humans is very different than for some animals, like elephants and cows sleep for 4 hours. Dogs, pigs, and guinea pigs are just like humans. They require about 8 to 9 hours of sleep, whereas like hedgehogs and beavers sleep longer, for like 10 to 11 hours. And of course, we know that, you know, bears, polar bears in the wintertime, you know, hibernate. Gosh, they can sleep for months at a time. It's pretty amazing. It's different depending on the various species. So let's talk about the consequences of sleep deprivation. You know, we usually don't think of sleep deprivation as a major problem. We think, well, I'll just catch up later. But there was, you know, it's interesting, when rats are prevented from sleep, one study showed that they died after only 10 days. Sleep deprivation, it really causes emotional disturbances in people, including, you know, apathy and aggressiveness, fluctuation between ecstasy and hopelessness. You know, your emotions go all over the place. Some people experience joint pain and even hallucinations. I know with my athletes and the coaches, some of you have reported that, you know, when you don't get enough sleep or your athletes are sleep deprived, then the healing process doesn't happen as quickly. You know, there's all, when you're out there working out, you're actually causing little micro tears in the, you know, connective tissue all the time, and so your body is constantly needing to repair, and sleep is where that happens, where the majority of the repair occurs. So if you're not getting enough sleep, then you're not getting the kind of recovery that you need. So the next day, you know, an athlete could, you know, still, if they have got some injury that's coming on, the injury could continue to get worse. And athletes can lose their ability to exercise good judgment and make right decisions. You know, those quick, like, I know, Ryan, you're working with baseball and football, and, you know, you've got to make really quick decisions. A pitcher does, and a batter about, you know, whether to swing at the ball. I mean, those kind of decisions are critical. And sleep, you can imagine someone that's deprived of sleep could really, hinder their ability to perform well and make those quick decisions and the correct decisions at the right time. So those who have been sleep, and if you've been deprived of sleep for a long period, you usually find it hard to, like, even finish a sentence or find an appropriate word to describe something. I'll give you an example. I was, I flew to London for the Olympics, and it was an overnight flight, left here at like 4 p.m., and was on the flight for 12 hours, and got into London the next day, I guess 11 o'clock, so I basically didn't, you know, it was a noisy flight, so I didn't get hardly any sleep on the flight at all, so I lost an entire night's sleep, and then going to, another country with jet lag and on a totally different time zone, usually takes several days to catch up and get in sync with that new time zone, as well as catching up on the lost sleep for a whole night. And I tried sleeping the next, that night when I arrived there. Of course, your body's, out of sync and it doesn't know when to sleep. And, you know, I'm trying to sleep at night, but I'd wake up at 3 in the morning because my body's still on U.S. time. And so I didn't get good sleep that night. And the next morning I had to take the subway into London and meet my athletes and Shannon and go into the, she'd gotten a pass for me to get into the Olympic Village there, which was very exciting and a great privilege to be there. And then we went together. We'd arranged to do an interview with NBC. They met us there at the Olympic Village. So when it came time to do the interview, he asked the first question. I was just kind of, I was experiencing exactly what we're talking about here. I was sleep deprived, and I couldn't think of the right words to say to finish a sentence. And I said, sorry, I kind of had to apologize, say, sorry, I'm kind of sleep deprived here and on jet lag. And it took a lot of work to just come up with the right language to do a good interview there. And fortunately, I got through it, but it was a struggle. And ideally, I wish I could have, flown there a day or two ahead of time or several days ahead to adjust to the time zone. So if you have athletes that are, for instance, flying to another country for a competition, in general, it takes for every hour with your flying, for every time zone hour, it takes an hour, an extra day to recover. So if you're, flying to London, for 12-hour time difference, it's 12 time zones. You know, ideally you want to have your athlete fly there 12 days ahead of time to adjust. And I know a lot of the Olympians did that. They got there, you know, 3 weeks early even. You know, if you've got the luxury of doing that plenty of time, then you know, they're going to be able to perform much better. But any time that you can to get extra sleep is good to catch up. So another thing that happens when you're sleep deprived is short-term memory tends to fail. So you should, you know, you just can't remember where you put your keys and can't remember where you parked your car, that sort of thing. So you should never give up your normal sleep time. A sleep-deprived person tends to do everything twice as slow. And you can imagine, you know, what that does to an athlete who has to perform, you know, basketball player has to, you know, look around and get to adjust very quickly, or a track runner who has to, you know, get out of the starting blocks very quickly. And then in humans, it's been demonstrated that metabolic activity of the brain decreases significantly after 24 hours of wakefulness. So, you know, we've all had that experience of, you know, staying up all night, you know, studying for a test, and then the next day having to take the test, which is where you need your brain power the most, and then you're not able to really focus. So your brain, you know, the metabolic activity of your brain decreases significantly, so you're not able to think as well after if you stayed up for 24 hours. And sleep, another thing that you should know is sleep deprivation results in a decrease in body temperature and a decrease in the immune system function when it's measured by the white blood cell count, which are kind of like the guardians of the body. So, and you've also got a decrease in growth hormone, which is really contributes to the healing process. So sleep deprivation, it can also cause increased heart variability. So all these things are going on in the body that we're not really aware of. And for our nervous systems to work properly, you know, you need that adequate sleep. And sleep deprivation, of course, makes a person drowsy and unable to concentrate the next day. It can lead to impairment of memory and physical performance and reduced ability to carry out, you know, just even like a math problem. You know, if you're trying to, let's say you're a runner on this, doing a marathon, you're trying to figure out your pace and how fast you need to go. You know, just carrying out, just doing simple math would be, you know, a lot more difficult. And so, and also lack of sleep can lead to, you know, using substances, to stay awake, like caffeine, or oftentimes people, you know, get into some more serious problems like addictive drugs. Some athletes use diet pills to stay awake, all of that. So we'll talk about that in a minute. What that does to you, and we'll talk about healthy ways of staying, of getting good sleep. So now we've talked about the importance of sleep and what sleep does for us and what happens when we don't get enough sleep and the consequences of sleep deprivation. So now what I wanted to chat with you about is the stages of sleep, the importance of dreaming. And as we mentioned earlier, sleep is like a dynamic process. There's two distinct states that like alternate in cycles. And each state is characterized by a different type of brain wave electrical activity that is, when we put like, you know, I've done work with biofeedback work with athletes and put electrodes on the skull and to measure this type of activity. And sleep consists of two types of activity, there's rapid eye movement, which is, and then there's non-rapid eye movement. So those are the two categorizations. And within non-rapid eye movement, there's, you know, divided into four stages. So stage one is light sleep, and then stage two, a deeper sleep, stage three and four, the really deep sleep. and then you go into, after that we go into what's called REM sleep, REM, rapid eye movement sleep. And we go through that whole cycle, a complete sleep cycle, in about 90 minutes. So that's the good news, actually. You know, we go through stage one, stage two, three, and four. We get into these deeper levels of sleep, and then we go into REM sleep. And all that takes about 1.5 hours, or about 90 minutes. And we go through that cycle, and then we go back and we cycle through stage one, two, three, four, and REM sleep again. So we do that many times throughout the night. So that's the good news. If you have to wake up, you're thinking, well, if I have to wake up and go to the restroom, you know, if I lost all that sleep or that ability to get back into the deep sleep. And the good news is that, if this is happening every 90 minutes, then even if you do have to get up or if you're disturbed, you can you get back into that sleep, you know, fairly easily. And so you haven't lost, you know, a full night's sleep. So, and then you can think of it like a night's sleep is divided into like three equal time periods. There's sleep in the first third of the night, and that's the has the highest percentage of non-REM sleep, you know, non-rapid eye movement. And then sleep in the middle third of the night, and then sleep in the last third of the night, which the majority of it is REM sleep, where we're dreaming. And so awakening, you know, if you awaken after a full night's sleep, it's usually from REM sleep, which is a, you know, a real deep level of sleep. So sometimes you might wake up groggy. If you wake up feeling, you know, really drowsy, it might be because you're, you know, in that REM sleep stage. And that's okay. It just means that it takes a little bit longer to wake up. So so those are the different stages of sleep. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the REM sleep is really important because that's where we do the dreaming and that's where it allows the brain to process what's going on. And so for an athlete, you know, if, let's say an athlete is learning a new level of, you know, new skill or perfecting a skill. That's where, you know, what you've learned during the day gets processed by the subconscious mind. So you're able to learn and really the brain is able to take in and integrate everything that you've learned through that day. So that's a good thing. For you know, during that REM sleep, and REM sleep represents about 20 to 25% of the total sleep time, and it occurs about 4 to 5 times during the night during a normal 8 to 9 hour sleep period, and the first REM period might be less than 10 minutes. And the last one might exceed like 60 minutes. So during a night's sleep, you know, you'll get little bouts of the REM sleep every 90 minutes or so. And when a person is extremely sleepy, the duration of each period of REM sleep is very very short, or might even be absent. And REM sleep is usually associated with dreaming, as I mentioned. And during REM sleep, the eyeballs move rapidly, and the heart rate and breathing become rapid and irregular, and the blood pressure rises. And so the muscles of the body are virtually paralyzed. It's interesting. You know, there's a lot going on during the REM sleep. The brain's highly active during REM sleep, and the overall brain metabolism might be increased by as much as 20%. And so in the research that I've done and looked at the electrical activity recorded in the brain during REM sleep is similar to that which is recorded during wakefulness. So the brain is almost as active as when we're awake, but it's just in a, you know, in a different state. So so that's there's a lot going on during sleep that we don't realize, and it's important to that's why it's so important to have those 8 to 9 hours of sleep per night, so that your brain and body can recover fully, also, you know, I've talked about with visualization that it's, you know, when we're making these MP3 files for our athletes, that it's good to, you know, make them a mental rehearsal visualization, and then have them put it on, your athlete put it on their iPod, and then play it right before you go to sleep at night, because what you're thinking about before you sleep tends to be what you'll dream about. So, you know, during that important REM sleep, you can have your athlete be thinking about what it is that, you know, some real positive kinds of input, and having your voice, you know, actually going through their mind and body as they're, you know, as they're going to sleep. So, and throughout that sleep, they're actually getting, you know, many more hours of actually processing that material through their subconscious mind. So it's very powerful. So I think that's why you know, visualization process and making the MP3 audio recordings is a great tool that we have with our athletes to be able to enhance the process of sleep and recovery, so that they're actually, what's going on during sleep is much more than just a rest, that they can actually be getting another form of training in, you know, training their brain and their mind. Let's say an athlete is injured too. I know TJ Ford, one of our you know, performing edge coaches, she just emailed me that she's got undergoing minor knee surgery this morning, and so that's, she couldn't be on this morning call. Hopefully she could be on the evening call, and she she's having surgery today. So, you know, if she could do a visualization of recovery, you know, visualizing what needs to happen for her knee to heal well, and actually make her own visualization MP3 and then play it at nighttime, then that can, or any of your athletes can do the same thing. You can make a visualization of recovery MP3 for them, then that will help, you know, that can really help accelerate the healing process while your athletes are sleeping at night, rather as opposed to worrying about, you know, how long is it going to take me to heal, and am I going to be able to walk okay again, and to run and to function. Instead of worrying about that, they can actually be, you know, helping the process along. So now I wanted to talk about a little bit about the sleep deprivation, and then we'll get into you know, other how to get better sleep. I think this is a really important topic, because so many people are sleep deprived, because the function of sleep, it hasn't been fully determined, but the exact number of hours that a person, people ask me, well, how many hours do you actually need to sleep? And that exact number is not really known. But some people claim, you know, I can get away with, I've got some clients that say I can get away with 3 to 5 hours of sleep per night, while others, you know, I've had other athletes say, oh, I can, I sleep 8, or some even say they'll sleep 10 hours a night. They need that much to perform effectively. And so sleep deprivation is, well, it's defined by a lot of things, you know, just your own individual needs, and also, what you know, what you need to do, what your sport is, and how much stress you're putting on your body. And so if you have a sport where you require a lot of judgment, quick judgment, when you've got total sleep when you've got tasks requiring judgment, you can see increasingly risky behaviors emerge as the total sleep duration is limited to only 5 hours per night. And there's a real high cost that you see. And the prefrontal and parietal areas of the brain, the metabolism actually decreased in those areas. So those are the areas that help us with judgment. So when you're lacking with sleep, you know, your ability to make those good decisions and judgment, impulse control, attention, visual association, all those areas of the brain actually decrease. And in fact, this kind of relates to the, you know, our last call with the Kansas City Chiefs and the, you know, the brain injury, traumatic brain injury that may have been going on with the athlete there. And you know, he was obviously, you know, the one that killed his girlfriend, and then ended up in front of his own mother, and then killed himself. A real tragic situation. And you know, he was reportedly suffering from you know, traumatic brain injury, and as well as substance abuse and painkillers for you know, for the pain that was going on, for the physical pain that he was trying to handle, and probably not sleeping well because of all that. And so on top of all the other problems that he had, you know, sleep deprivation was probably causing some of that too. You know, poor judgment and impulse control problems, and impulsivity. So you know, there's just there's many ways that we see that sleep affects our behavior and our judgment, and we can see that sleep deprivation is kind of relative. Small amounts of sleep loss, for example, you know, 1 hour per night, if you lose 1 hour per night over many nights, you could see a subtle kinds of cognitive impairment. And then that might not be too bad. It may go unrecognized, but more severe restriction of sleep over, you know, if this happens over, you know, a long period for a week, it tends to lead to more profound cognitive problems. As it comes on slowly, a person might not recognize what's really going on. If you feel drowsy during the day, you fall asleep for short periods of time, 5 minutes or so, or regularly fall asleep immediately after you're lying down, then you're probably sleep deprived. And so many studies show that made it clear that sleep deprivation is dangerous. And you know, tasks that require coordination, you know, like with our athletes, with you know, let's say hockey, for example, you know, having to make those quick. Most sports require good coordination. Sleep deprived people perform as poorly or worse than people who are intoxicated. That's pretty amazing. If you're sleep deprived, I'll say that again. Sleep deprived people perform poorly or worse than people who are intoxicated. So it's like you're basically taking a drug when you're sleep deprived. I know. I think Jeff Laval's on the call too, and I know, Jeff, that you're working with motocross athletes, and they have to make really quick decisions, of course, out there on the. While they're driving and riding, and because you've experienced it yourself, it can be really devastating when you fall off your bike or getting crashes and all as a result of that. So when you're sleep deprived for say 7 hours per night over 1 week, it results in decreased speed in tasks, and it lowers your simple reaction time and more demanding problem-solving skills. So, and then when they've done studies where people are sleep deprived 5 hours per night, and it's just speed and accuracy failure. So you've got, it's real clear, you know, what the issues are there, and I think what's important to know too is, according to the National Sleep Foundation, if you have trouble keeping your eyes focused, or if you can't stop yawning, or if you can't remember, let's say driving, if you can't remember driving the last few miles, then you're probably too drowsy to say drive safely. And same thing with when you get to an athletic field, you're probably too drowsy to be able to perform well. It's important to know that caffeine and other stimulants really cannot overcome the effects of severe sleep deprivation. You know, you might think it keeps you awake for a few, for a quick, you know, a few minutes or half an hour, but it's over the long run. Those, if you take caffeine, usually that prevents, when you want to get to sleep, then it prevents the sleep process. So it's only a short-term fix, and it doesn't really help over the long run. And if you so if you find your athletes, you know, in the sleep-deprived state, it's really important to find a play, you know, to get them some help and to be able to teach them some relaxation techniques, some more natural ways to be able to get the proper sleep at night. And we'll talk about those in just a moment. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you first about substances that alter sleep. So sleep and wakefulness, they're influenced by different neurotransmitters in the brain. And substances, some of these substances can change the balance of neurotransmitters. So for instance, like we mentioned before, caffeinated drinks like coffee or medicines like diet pills, they stimulate some parts of the brain. So they might keep you awake for a little while, but they can also cause difficulty in falling asleep. And so many people don't realize that if they're taking drugs, some kind of, you know, any kind of prescription drugs, many of them, especially the ones for treatment of depression, they actually suppress REM sleep. So they may help the depression a little bit, but then they're you're not getting the proper REM sleep at night that helps you have that deep restorative healing sleep. Also, I don't know if this may not be as relevant to athletes, but people who smoke heavily sleep very lightly and have reduced duration of REM sleep. And heavy smokers, they tend to wake up after 3 to 4 hours of sleep due to nicotine withdrawal. So that shows you how powerful nicotine is. They're actually going through withdrawal during the night, and that's why they're waking up. And some people who have insomnia often use alcohol to get to sleep. And even though alcohol may help people to fall into a light sleep, it actually deprives you of the REM sleep and the deeper, more restorative stages of sleep. So, a glass of wine or beer at night, you think, oh, that's going to help me relax, but it actually, it may help you fall asleep, but then it keeps you in the lighter stages of sleep all night so that you're not getting the deep restorative stages of sleep. And also, it's important for you to know as athletes that alcohol is dehydrating, and so when you're an athlete, you need to be rehydrating all the time. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now, is drinking a glass of water, and so I can keep my throat clear. And so it's important to realize, help your athletes understand that. You know, oftentimes they'll, you know, celebrate after a game with a bunch of alcohol or party, and when the body is really starved for water at that point, for just plain old, H2O hydration, and when you're drinking alcohol, it's just taking away from that, and they need to drink twice as much water after that to rehydrate. So it's much better to stay away from the alcohol or minimize it and just drink regular water and use other ways to get to sleep at night, like your MP3s. You know, you can actually make an audio MP3 to help your client to sleep at night. And also, I want to recommend in the Your Performing Edge book, chapter that you all have, chapter 5 is all about relaxation and sleep, and there's a number of great exercises in there to help your athletes to relax and get to sleep at night. So you could put that up in the members area under Coach Resources, so you can look there. Let's see, I'll be putting that up today. Workbook number would be part 5. I'll make sure that's up there so that you can download that and you have those exercises for your athletes to be able to relax and get better sleep. So I just want to mention a couple of the things here about and then we'll and get to the techniques for sleep. Circadian rhythms that influence sleep are kind of interesting, but we have these biological variations that occur in the course of 24 hours, and they're called circadian rhythms. So it's kind of like thinking of it as like your body's biological clock. And so circadian rhythms are controlled by our biological clock within ourselves. And so sleep and wakefulness, they're the most important circadian rhythms. But there are many other things that follow circadian rhythms too. You know, our blood pressure or maybe our heart rate or all sorts of other things go in a 24-hour cycle as well, our eating patterns. And circadian rhythms is one of the several body rhythms that's modulated by the hypothalamus part of the brain. So that's important and physiologically to know that that part of the brain, the hypothalamus, is modulated by a circadian rhythm, this 24-hour period. And what's important here, too, to realize is that light directly affects our circadian sleep rhythm. So you can think of it like there's a word called Zeitgeber, which is a German word that means time giver because it sets the biological clock. So you can think of it like using the analogy, the brain is like a battery. It's charging during sleep and discharging as we wake up. So at nighttime, you know, it's like your brain is going into, you know, you think of it like you're plugging it into the wall and it's recharging its battery. And then in the morning, all day long, we're using that battery energy throughout the day. And so so that's really important to get that recharging time. And then our body temperature cycles are also under control of the hypothalamus. So we see an increase in temperature during the day, and then we see a decrease in our body temperature at night. And so it's like a peak, a temperature peaks during the day, and then it goes down at night. And melatonin is a chemical, you know, produced by the pineal gland in the brain, and that's been, it's kind of like a modulator of light, and it's secreted mostly during the night. And so you've seen melatonin in the stores and all, but it's that you can buy, but actually we produce it naturally in our by the pineal gland in our brain. And so it's good to, you know, during the day our temperature rises, body temperature rises, and then at night it falls back down. And so, you know, for instance, when we exercise, you know, when your athletes are out there working out, then they are you know, that's increasing the body temperature, of course, and that helps at nighttime then it's like nature's best tranquilizer. So at nighttime, then it helps the body's temperature to go down so that we go to sleep at night more easily. And so, you know, the thing is, right before games, right before, you know, an important competition, athletes kind of get concerned because they're not getting the regular exercise. They need to taper before the race, and they're not working out, and so that often can cause problems with getting good sleep at night. So you need to we need to find other ways for them to be able to relax. One way to increase the body temperature then is to like have your athlete take a hot bath or hot shower, you know, before bedtime. That increases the body temperature, and then makes and then afterward, as when you go to sleep, the body temperature goes down more easily, which which creates that melatonin, which helps sleep. So that's one way to, you know, help your athletes to sleep at night is to take a hot bath or a hot shower or jacuzzi so that you, you know, create that increase in body temperature. So circadian rhythm, then, you know, they can get disrupted by, you know, when we cross time zones, of course. And so, as I mentioned before, they can get disrupted, leading to a jet lag. And so it can take several days for our body to adjust to the new time zone. And if you are, you know, traveling, or if your athletes are traveling to another time zone, it's better to, as soon as you get there, to try to readjust and go to sleep when the, you know, the sun goes down, get into that the same rhythm as the new time zone, and then get up when the sun comes up, so that you you know, get force your body into that new newer time zone as soon as possible, and try to avoid the caffeine that's going to keep you awake at night. So let's talk a little bit about how to sleep well, and then we'll, yeah, I just want to open it up here for questions too. Some of the things that you want to do is just like you have good, you know, dental hygiene, you want to think of developing good sleep hygiene, good habits to develop. You know, people that can't sleep at night, it's nothing's more frustrating than not being able to sleep, especially like, you know, Brian, I think Alderson was asking about, you know, his golf athletes. You know, you're concerned you could get to the big tournament and then you can't sleep the night before when you need to perform really well. One thing is I always suggest is for your athletes is have them get extra sleep two nights before and three nights before important competition, so that it's kind of like putting extra sleep in the bank, so that even if you don't sleep well the night before the race or the game, you'll have, you know, that extra sleep in your system and you can still survive okay. But it's even better if you can, you know, sleep well the night before the competition too. And so, you know, oftentimes you're tossing and turning with your athlete, your mind's racing, going over everything that happened that day and everything that's going to happen, how important it is that you perform well the next day, and noises can keep you awake. And but there are things that you can do. So here's some tips that I wanted to give you. Number one, you want to sleep only when you're sleepy, so that reduces the time that you're awake in bed. So if you, let's say you go to sleep, you go to bed and you can't fall asleep within 20 minutes, I'd say get up and do something else, do something boring until you feel sleepy. You could sit quietly in the dark. You could read the warranty on your refrigerator. don't want to expose yourself to bright light while you're up. That gives your gives cues to your brain that it's time to wake up. So you want to stay in the dark or dim light. And what I did when I know I was in England when I flew to the Olympics in London, I'd wake up at 3 in the morning because my body was on the wrong time zone, and I just got up and did a few light exercises. I just did some sit-ups and push-ups and you know, floor exercises. Did about 20 minutes of those, enough to kind of tire me out a little bit more, drink some water, stay hydrated, and then that would help me get back to sleep. So, you know, even if you can't go outside to exercise or something, you can do something inside. You don't want to go for a run or anything major, you know, at nighttime, but just something to, you know, do a little bit of movement is okay. So that's one suggestion. And another thing is to don't take naps, or don't take a lot of long naps, because this will ensure you, if you don't, that you're tired at bedtime. So if you can't make it through the day without a nap, then just sleep less than an hour and before 3 p.m., you know, before the middle of the afternoon, so that you try to stay awake, and that way you'll get your body more into a rhythm of wanting to be sleepy at night. And then another tip is to get up and go to bed at the same time every day. This is one of the most critical things. It seems so simple, you know, early to bed, early to rise, or if you always go to bed, you want to try to go to bed at 11 o'clock every night, get up at 7 every morning, you know, try to stay to that same rhythm so that your body gets used to that time period. If there's strong, you know, fluctuations in when you go to bed, when you wake up, then, you know, it's, your body is confused as to when it's supposed to go to sleep. So you want to try to set that as a regular schedule and then try to keep to, you know, go to bed within a half an hour of your normal sleep time and wake up within a half an hour of your normal wake-up time. And even on weekends, you know, we tend to kind of alter things. We should try to keep it the same. When your sleep cycle has a regular rhythm, you'll feel so much better. So I think that's rule number one, really, for all of us and for athletes. And you want to refrain from exercise at least 4 hours before bedtime. That one example I gave was kind of if you do something small, like just a few floor exercises, that's okay if you wake up. But refrain from doing major, you know, cardiovascular exercise 4 hours before you go to bed. Try to keep your training or your athlete training in the, you know, earlier in the day or afternoon. Because regular exercise is really recommended. It does really help you sleep well, but the timing of the workout is important. So do your training in the morning or early afternoon. Then it won't interfere with sleep. And another really important tip is to develop sleep rituals. So it's important to give your body the cues that it's time to slow down and sleep. And, you know, say listening to relaxing music or reading something soothing for 15 minutes, or having a tea that's make sure it's caffeine-free. There's, you know, some you can get at you know, regular stores like Celestial Seasonings, Sleepy Time Tea, that's, you know, there's some that has chamomile tea, and it's, make sure that it says caffeine-free on it. And Trader Joe's has, if you have those stores in your area, has something called bedtime tea. You know, those are good. Or if you need to, there's also valerian root, and you can get that at health food stores and most drug stores as well. It's a valerian root. It's a herb that helps you with relaxation and sleep, and so you can have like a bottle of that next to the bed there. And if you have your athletes not get, you don't want to be dependent on it, but just have it as a backup. If you can't sleep, then maybe take one or two of those. They're like 400 milligrams, and that can help, you know, with the sleep process as well. Also, lavender really helps. You know, lavender essential oil. So you can get the lavender essential oils at health food stores. Or there's a company called Young Living. I know that sells it in a stronger therapeutic brand, so you can check those out on their website there. I think it's youngliving.com, and or let me know about it, and I can point you in the right direction. And so you want to have those sleep rituals, and you know, just do if you have what I have is what's called a sound soother. Or a white noise machine. You know, you can get them at any department store, and it's a little box that you put next to your bed that makes the sound of the ocean or white noise. It's just pure easy sound. It sounds like this, you know, just a very smooth sound, and it's great for. I take it to when I'm traveling. To a hotel, because you never know if you'll be in a noisy hotel and somebody else, you know, there's noises around you. So I put that on, and it masks the sounds around. It's great for that. And put in earplugs if you're sensitive to noise. So, and I'll put that sound on, you know, right before I go, or I'll turn on the, you know, the ocean sounds, and I'll turn that on like a half an hour before I go to bed, and it starts giving my body the cue that it's time for sleep. So you want to, I think that's a really good ritual to get into. Or if you don't have one of those machines, you can also buy just a CD with ocean sounds, or you can even find some on YouTube and just have that nice sound there. But sounds are really great for to have that ritual as part of your ritual to get your body ready for sleep. And then dimming the lights, even just as I'm brushing my teeth, I'll just brush my teeth in right before bed and stand in a be in the bedroom with the lights dim so that the body knows that it's ready to go to sleep. It accelerates that process. And then you want to another tip is to only use your bed for sleeping. Just refrain from watching TV. A lot of people have their TV in their room, or paying bills, or doing work and other things. And so, the bedroom is like a cue for all kinds of activities. But you want to, just have your bed only for sleeping, so that it becomes a cue for, for relaxing and just going to bed. Also, another tip: you want to stay away from caffeine and nicotine and alcohol, just 4 to 6 hours before bedtime, because it does take a long time for caffeine to get out of your system. So if you're drinking caffeine, late in the day or any other stimulants, then it's going to affect your sleep. People also don't know that coffee, tea, cola, cocoa, hot chocolate, even hot chocolate, and just regular chocolate that you eat. They all contain caffeine. Also, some prescription drugs and many non-prescription drugs contain caffeine, and people don't realize that. You think, I'll have a cup of hot chocolate before I go to bed. That'll be soothing. But it's actually in the reverse. You're drinking caffeine that's keeping you awake. So same thing with, as we mentioned before, alcohol, cigarettes, of course, and some drugs contain nicotine, which keeps you up. Alcohol may help you sleep in the beginning as it slows down brain activity, but then you end up having this fragmented sleep and not sleeping well during the night. So you want to refrain from those caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol 4 to 6 hours before bed. And hopefully most athletes aren't working with nicotine. But you'd be surprised in England and Europe, it seems like everybody smokes. Even it's just amazing how many cyclists, are out there smoking even though they're working out. Also, you might want to have a snack before you go to bed. I always have a grapefruit or a piece of fruit before bed, and that really helps with the hydration. It's because if your stomach is too empty, it can interfere with sleep. So you can have something very small, like a piece of fruit is perfect. But if you have you don't want to have a heavy meal before bedtime because that can interfere with sleep. And dairy products contain tryptophan, which acts as a natural sleep inducer. So tryptophan is probably why warm glass of milk is recommended sometimes. So that's okay to have something that if your body can tolerate dairy products, like a little bit of yogurt or a glass of milk is okay. Something that helps has that tryptophan, which can give you a natural sleep. And so that's something you can do as well to help with the sleep process. Another tip is to, as I mentioned before, take a hot bath 90 minutes before bedtime. So the hot bath, as I mentioned, will raise your body temperature. So that's good to raise your body temperature. And then afterwards, it's the drop in body temperature that will leave you feeling sleepy after you finish the bath or hot shower. So so that's a good way to, hot bath, shower, or jacuzzi can help with that process. But you want to make sure while you're in the hot bath that you bring lots of cold water, so you're rehydrating as well. And then a couple other tips. Make sure that your bed and your bedroom are quiet and comfortable. So a hot room can be really uncomfortable. You want to sleep in a cooler room along with enough blankets to stay warm. So I think that's what's better recommended. Even if your head gets cold, you know, wear a hat, it's okay. And if the early morning bothers you, you can wear one of those blackout shades. You can get a mask to put over your eyes. You can get those at any drugstore. And if the noise bothers you, if you're in a noisy place, wear earplugs or have, like I mentioned, that white noise machine or sleep, something that has the sound of the ocean or various sounds on it, sound soother that you can get at any drugstore. Those are really great for masking sound. And then using light to set your biological clock light. So as soon as you get up in the morning, you want to go, if you can, go outside, turn your face toward the sun for 15 minutes. I know this time of year there's not as much sun, but if it is sunny out or at least daylight, be out in the light for 15 minutes right away, and that cues your body that it's time to wake up. And if you do that the same time every day, then your body will get used to waking up at the same time and then and going to sleep at the same time. So that, in addition to the tips in your Performing Edge book, Chapter 5 on relaxation and sleep, there's some exercises there. Hopefully that will help you with your athletes. So I think all these tips can really make a huge difference with your athletes, with their training, with their overall health, and with sports performance, to be able to get good sleep, not only right the night before the competition, but also in general to have good sleep so that they're recovering well from training and so they can do their absolute best in focus throughout the day. So that's the information I have for you today to cover the importance of sleep, what sleep does for us, what happens when you don't get enough sleep, the consequences of sleep deprivation. And then we talked about the stages of sleep, the importance of dreaming, and substances that alter sleep. And then I talked about the circadian rhythms that influence sleep and how to sleep well, good sleep habits, some exercises and techniques for falling asleep, and then the many ways that this can really help your quality sleep can help you and your athletes to better overall performance and health. I'd love to hear if you, I know several people have had to leave the call because we're at the minutes after. Let me ask you if you've got questions. I know, I think Jeff Levout, are you on the call? I don't know if you are able to speak, you can feel free to check in and say hi. If you want to unmute your phone. If not, I understand that you might be in a meeting or something. We're going to have, feel free to say hi. It's great having you on the call, and Ryan as well, and all the other people that are on our call here. I know there's several people on that are muted. We're also going to have a call tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and I'll go over this material again and be able to answer your questions as well. Let me know. You can check in, and you can always email me your questions as well. And we'll have our next call on January the 10th at 10 Pacific, 1 Eastern time as well. I hope you all had a great holiday, and we'll talk with you soon. So have a great New Year's as well. It's coming right up here. Have drive safely, and I hope that you can all get great sleep. So we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being on the call. Thanks for sharing your time today. And I think it will really help you and your athletes tremendously, this material. So this recording will be up shortly. And have a great day. So bye for now.